This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Welcome to You're Making It Worse. We're here, we're queer, who cares? I'm Elliot Glazer.
And I'm Brent Sullivan.
And I'm H. Allen Scott.
Textual healing.
So I wanted to start things off by first off getting giving a shout out to a longtime listener, Anthony, for his birthday. Cutie patootie, Anthony.
Oh.
And Brent, you actually met him at Mickey's in WeHo. One of your nights that you go to WeHo, he told me that he met you and he asked where we were. And I
Yeah.
You probably called us dykes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I met him. Yeah, I remember
yeah,
that. Yeah,
but it's his birthday and he's a big fan of the podcast. So I wanted to give him a nice birthday.
Happy birthday, Anthony.
Shout out.
Alan and I send our finest regards. Elliot sends his loves with his legs spread wide.
Or as we say in Long Island, happy birthday, Anthony.
Anthony.
Happy birthday, Anthony.
Oh. Well, I'm glad we could start off with something positive because the story that I have is not positive at all. It's the death of the Oklahoma teen, Nex Benedict. Have you guys heard this story?
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't heard it independently of our podcast, but I read the article.
Yeah, it's they were a non-binary teen who collapsed after a fight in school the day before. And in February, the fight happened in the girls' bathroom, and it was with another transgender student. On February 7th, they got into this altercation with students who had been allegedly teasing Nex and this other student. It lasted 2 minutes, and then a staff member broke it up, and then Nex's family member said the altercation was due to this ongoing bullying that Nex had been receiving. And they basically, in the police video that came out later, Nex is heard talking about how these students had been taunting them and saying, you know, horrible things, and that they retaliated by throwing water on these students, and then a fight ensued, and Nex blacked out apparently and didn't really remember anything that happened after that. So the next day, Nex stood up in their home and they collapsed and died. Just died. And the autopsy is still out, so we don't know the full things, the full thing about it. But what makes this really interesting is the state of the LGBTQ state of the union in Oklahoma is not good at all. Oklahoma lawmakers have been targeting transgender and non-binary people in recent years with all kinds of measures, banning children from receiving gender-affirming medical care, prohibiting trans minors from using school bathrooms that correspond with their gender identity, prohibiting non-binary gender markers on birth certificates, blocking trans girls and women from playing on female sports teams. And there's more than 50 bills right now targeting LGBTQ plus community in consideration in Oklahoma alone. And the Republican governor, Kevin Stitt, I think his name is pronounced, also signed an executive order that defines an individual sex as their biological sex at birth. And the superintendent of the school that Nex attended, Ryan Walters, who oversees public schools as well, also has been a very vocal critic of transgender rights.
He brought that guy, the superintendent,
yeah.
Brought on. Should I wait?
No, you're fine. Just go.
Okay. The superintendent of the schools brought on the woman who runs Libs of TikTok,
yeah.
who is not trans, does not live in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and yet she was brought on as a sort of, I guess, consultant.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
into
wow.
like the school board, a public school board, essentially to troll, like yeah. to help guide his legislation through trolling. This woman knows, I don't even know if she's been to Oklahoma. She doesn't have any credentials whatsoever, yeah. and here she is, a troll who lives on. Through trolling
also,
the internet.
What a waste of state money. Like
what
why
a
would this
waste.
Why would this person be hired as a consultant if they have no relevant expertise in
well because
in
the state legislator is never going to question this person for doing it because there's 50 bills waiting right now targeting LGBTQ plus people.
Yeah.
So like they don't care. They think this is a good use of money. And the wild thing about it is, I mean, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast about sort of the weaponization of trans bodies and identities. For politics, for political gain in the national Republican sense. And the National Republican Party has done this, of course, in a national level, but also in a statewide level. But it's oftentimes been for show. So courts have stopped many of these actions and, you know, said that, you know, like even in Tennessee, that the quote unquote drag ban in Tennessee didn't go through because a court stepped in. So, like, you know, there have been some fair-minded responses to some of this legislation. But the problem now is that we all know that like everything happens at a local level. And when things start to get really bad at a local level, that's when it's like, we need to be paying a lot of attention to this because the domino effects, they don't have this for political gain. They're actually doing this to hurt
it seems
queer
like they're
people
just,
and trans people.
That's why it feels so specific. It
yeah.
feels like there is no gain to be made here other than honing in on kids
yeah.
in particular out of, I guess, I don't even know. I mean, I'm not really sure what the end game is, if it's just pure homophobia and transphobia, but they want to just hammer down this. They just want to turn back time. And I think at this point, you know, we hear so much and see so much about, you know, I think about trans rights and discrimination against trans people, especially with like black trans women who are just murdered, you know, but then when you see it actually unfold this way to a kid, And the insinuation, I think, is that the, you know, that this violence was being perpetrated against them and that the school let it happen.
Yeah.
Like it seems like the faculty may not have intervened at all.
They intervened.
You know, again,
it's
muddy.
They intervened in the fight, but we don't know. I mean, and next said it themselves in that when the police officer in the video,
yeah, that video
asked them, why didn't they report some of these things in the past? And I think Nex said something like, what good would it have done? And so there
right.
was like a culture even that had been trickled down to the kids saying that
the kids,
even
yes.
the kids are realizing. And you know, Nex's grandmother talked about how Nex was a straight A student, very smart, well-read, you know, was obsessed with Minecraft, was just a normal kid who was very, very intelligent. And then something horrible happened to them and they had to suffer through this, but were able to realize that the people that are there that are put in place to protect them, to guide them
don't.
In their education towards adulthood into being good citizens of the United States are actually not doing anything to protect
they're
them.
They're not. It's yeah.
Yeah.
It's it was such a like truly affecting story
yeah.
to see because Nex just seems such a normal kid, you know, just
yeah.
a normal smart kid.
Mm-hmm. And we should say too, I mean, so much of what happened at the school, we don't know because these
right.
are kids
it's
we're talking about. And so
yeah.
we don't.
There were the article also mentions, I mean, this is actually kind of surprised me a little bit. There are two trans kids mm-hmm. at that school in sort of suburban Tulsa, which was, you know, interesting to me because, you know, again, you think of a place like suburban Tulsa as a place where, you know, it would be very, very challenging. And obviously we've proven that it's challenging to be trans in that community. But
well, we also should broaden the definition
stop.
Of trans too. I mean, so I think for a lot of people, trans, when you say trans, transgender, and this is in how media reports it too, which I think a lot of times it's not as nuanced, but they lump every gender identity under transgender. And so, you know, but I think a lot of people think, oh, well, the binary, male, female, transgender, it's someone who is transitioning, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. but under that umbrella also falls genderqueer, gender, you know, all these different spectrums of people who even don't identify as a gender, which Nex did not. And so
right.
and they're a part of that community as well. So I think for a lot of kids, which I think is wonderful that they're a part of this umbrella community that encompasses a lot of different gender identities and spectrums and identities. But they're able to cope through a system and have someone and yet not necessarily be like, you know, all the time a target. But at the same time, the school's not doing anything to protect them. So it's they're not understanding the complexities of what some of these kids are going through. You know, they don't understand someone who is non-binary, this Oklahoma school, that to them, even trans is just male or female. You know what I mean?
Right. Like
someone who...
And Brent, sorry, what were you going to say about Tulsa?
Oh, I was just kind of commenting that, like, I think it does show the progression that students can still...
Yeah,
live as themselves, even if they do get bullied. They, you know, mm-hmm. they are attempting to live as themselves in, you know, very conservative suburban Tulsa, which I think, you know, shows how things are progressing, even when there are dark days such as this one. There is a GoFundMe page.
Yes.
Looks like for some reason it's under the name Dagny Benedict. But I guess if you Google Dagny Benedict.
Well, we'll put the link to it in the show GoFundMe. Notes of this episode as well. Too. But I did love what the.
What are you, anti-Google?
Yes, I am. no, the grandmother's quotes in this article and just some of the things that they've said also elsewhere is heartbreaking in that. Here was this loving, I mean, who had raised Nex since Nex was a baby, really. And I think their grandfather adopted them, like, I don't know, a couple years ago. And so this woman is just saying that Nex was this great kid and was teaching the grandmother a lot about sort of the gender spectrum and how they were in the middle of, I mean, the grandma even said she was, that she was learning so much from Nex in about gender. And it was just sort of like, that's
and good for her.
That's how
for
it
being
should be.
Yeah.
Ugh, such heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
A new equation for switching on outcomes is here from PwC. It's human-led and tech-powered. It's PwC with Oracle, SAP, Salesforce, and Workday. It's PwC with Microsoft, AWS, and Google. Simplify your systems and amplify your results. Switch on outcomes with PwC and their alliances. Learn more at pwc.com.
Not even joking.
We are here with comedian Parker Callahan, straight out of Chicago.
So we
hi
had
guys.
Some hi Parker. We had some technical difficulties before, but we were talking about how sunny and fabulous it is in Chicago, and that Parker, you went and did a little bit of drug usage in the park.
I did.
Yeah, let's hear about this.
Oh.
He microdosed, but I was curious as to
let's let him reveal the drug, Brent.
Well,
my God.
Know, just, well,
give the guest the red carpet.
It's true. The rumors are true. I microdosed and went to a brunch outside. I mean, can you ask for anything better? It's March, and we are fully experiencing mid-July right now, and it's
that's wild.
How hot is it?
I mean, it was like 75 degrees sitting in the sun. Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, that is just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it was,
75 is disgusting to you, Elliot? Why?
Yes, in March in Chicago, that's not
it. Shouldn't happen.
Well, it's disturbing.
No,
apparently
it should not
today
happen.
Was the polar plunge, and like people got it, like jumped in the lake, and there's been no ice, so they just stayed in the water. They were like, there's no...
very, very depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying.
It's not
but wait,
fun. Yeah.
When people talk about microdosing, it is universally references psilocybin, right? Shrooms,
yeah,
right?
I think so. Yes. I'm not an expert. But.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I've only had terrible experiences on shrooms. Does it work
I'm sorry
you
to hear that.
When you microdose?
I love
yes,
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you?
Like a little microdose, it's just like a little perk. Like it's like you, all the colors are brighter. You're just kind of giddier. Huh. It's
wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty low key, I would say.
I've done shrooms a few times in my life, but one of the more memorable experiences of me on shrooms was we were watching Kevin Smith's Mallrats, and we were doing shrooms, and then my friend stood up to go to the restroom and thought I was the restroom, and he peed on me.
This was
years ago, but yes.
Interesting.
I mean, we were doing alcohol and other things too, so there was lots of things involved. Yeah. In this. It wasn't just shrooms and Kevin Smith. And in fact, I even saw Kevin Smith at the West Hollywood Target once, and then I told him this story that I got peed on watching his movie while on shrooms, and he enjoyed it. And then it was that weird experience when you see someone at Target and then you see them again and again and again.
Yeah,
and I just became the pee guy he just kept seeing in every fucking aisle.
Yeah, what a night. I literally, if I see someone like that and like say hi to someone and know I'm going to keep bumping into them, I just leave the store and I come back like 15 minutes later because I hate the discomfort of having to consistently be like, what do I say? Hi again? We just talked. Wow. Like, what do we do now? I hate that. My microdose story is I took a microdose many years ago, July 4th, weekend. And I instantly started to get a panic attack. My hands were like trembling. So to feel better, I decided to take the bus to go to a McDonald's.
Oh, wow.
And so because McDonald's is the best. And I thought this McDonald's was in the Arts District, which is a very nice part of downtown Los Angeles. But in fact, it was in Skid Row. And so I got off the bus, I walked into the McDonald's, and there was only one other person ordering. And as I walked in, he was threatening to kill everyone in the McDonald's.
No.
Wow.
And so I was like, I really wish I hadn't come here. But anyway, I got a delicious McFlurry and some breakfast burritos, and I felt just fine.
Breakfast burritos at McDonald's. Interesting. Wow.
Well, you were there early, unless this is when they were serving breakfast all day. Sorry. I just need to get the details.
It was like one in the afternoon.
But Parker, we on the old recording, the past recording we did of this, we talked about your frequent collaborations with past guests on this podcast and our friend Maggie Winters, who also has a newscaster name like last week's guest, Kate.
Yes.
And sort of you as well. So what's the genesis of this friendship between the two of you and these very funny videos that you create?
I mean, the sick sad truth is that we were improvisers in improv class together, which is, you know, they're always in basements, stinky basements with rats kind of running around. That was the case in this situation. And, you know, you
were
just kind of lock
the
eyes.
Rats? The students were the
yes,
rats.
Yes. And
right?
And that is how I refer to other people who do improv. Yes. That
yes.
Is
what... yes. Naturally. Naturally.
Yeah. And Wow. Yeah, we just kind of locked eyes one day and we were like,
let's make videos.
Exactly. Right.
That's how it works in improv class. You lock eyes and then you commit to making videos for the
rest really
of your
lives.
You really kind of
do. Yeah.
That's kind of you and Brent, or you and Elliot too, Brent. I mean, a little bit, right? You guys met, how did you guys meet and then get to It Gets Better-ish?
Well, Brent was doing a show at Rafifi in New York in, I guess, 2007. And I was like, this straight comedian is talking about an HIV test in his act. And I was like, that is so wild. And then I talked to him and he was like, yeah, no, I'm gay. And I was like, you're what? And I'd never,
I have to impersonate Elliot finding out Brent's gay because he didn't just say, you're what? He went, you're what?
It was just remarkable because he didn't go on stage and say, so I'm gay. He was just like talking nonchalantly about STI, HIV. And I was like, I thought it was revolutionary, Brent. I will say revolutionary.
Thank you.
Wait, I have to ask you, Parker. So as anybody who has listened to this podcast or interview with Maggie Winters knows, I'm straight up obsessed. I think your work is so fucking funny.
Thank
it
you
just
so much.
Like, it just hits.
But we're getting, yeah, we are.
Who is
are
that?
We good?
I'm just.
That's
giving
not me for once,
from?
By the way. That was not
that
downtown
was,
Los Angeles.
Is that Chicago?
That was Chicago. That was Chicago. They're filming Chicago PD outside my house. So.
Oh wow.
We always just assume it's Brent because he's in downtown.
Oh
LA.
Yeah.
It's like sirens and the colors of the police.
Overdoses. And, yeah.
But okay, so you and Maggie make these videos that I'm obsessed with. So Maggie said that you edit them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So how did I have to ask? How did you Did you train as an editor, and how did you find this really unique style that is just so fucking funny?
Okay, I this is like the one thing in my life that I'm proud of, in that I taught myself editing software because of a necessity with inside. Wow. You know, when you're like, no, I need to know how to do this. And the pandemic happened, and that was very convenient for that sort of like learning process.
It was just for comedy or for something else?
No, yeah, just for, I was like, I want to make this kind of joke, but I can't do it on a stage. So, how can I do, like, I know it's in a video.
You know what? Like, it's like your signature. I mean, I don't want to.
Well,
I mean,
Elliot, explain his videos a little bit.
I said this with Maggie too. Like, what makes your video so funny is that you and Maggie are already going at lightning speed, mm-hmm. doing like pseudo character versions of yourself. Right. The jokes are already insane. As I did as I mentioned when Maggie was here, you singing I Live for Santa Claus, mm-hmm. like Applause by Lady Gaga. It's like the dumbest kernel for a joke, and yet the way it's edited and the way you two look directly in the camera is so funny. But the best part is that it seems like your signature editing move is a constant slow zoom in on face.
Absolutely.
Like it never ends.
It never ends.
And it's just, I don't know why it is the funniest thing to just be constantly zooming in on an actor's face. It never ends.
It never ends. I love the idea of constant motion as being like,
constant motion.
In any way I can accelerate what is happening. And these are all dumb concepts. Let's just throw everything at it. And the zoom, the zoom has to happen. It just has
Wait,
to be there.
Wait, Parker, I need to know, were you of the, like, the Vine generation of comedy?
Yeah,
videos?
that's what I was assuming.
Yeah, oh yeah. I loved Vine, but didn't partake then. I was a observer and I consumed it, but, I was not creating stuff then.
Well, so outside of the videos then, I mean, do you do stand up? Like, what is, like, how do you, because I mean, it's sort of like the social media has kind of created a wonderful lane for comedy to live in lots of different spaces, but it's also kind of makes like then being like, oh, and I also do stand up as sort of like an aside thing a lot of times too.
Are you still doing improv for rats?
Yes, I am still doing improv for rats. No, and also I have to thank the pandemic for kind of ending improv in my life. It holds a special place in my heart. But
no, improv is just rehearsal on a stage with other people watching.
There we go.
That's all it is. I don't understand
Tuesdays
it.
At 10 p.m., what are we doing? We don't need to be doing this.
I know. Go pay your taxes.
It's pretty late. So yeah, now I guess what you could say is like kind of stand up is what I do is like a live thing, but it's like a multimedia mm-hmm. event. Mm-hmm. I love doing elaborate.
You're a little avant-garde.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say so.
I watched your video where you were doing, I don't want to give anything away, but you did you have a whole set of material about the song from Folgers.
Oh yeah. I
actually loved that song.
The best part of waking up.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Part of waking up, soldiers in you. And I think Rockapella did like one iteration.
Oh my god,
of that,
that's
of
they
the
did.
Commercial. And they would subsequently for like years later, they would have there are like videos on YouTube of them like doing the Folgers commercial at their concerts. And you're like,
that's
what
one
fucking
jingle.
Dorks
I'm obsessed. I've never been able to successfully do it because I'm not. I do drag outside of this Parker, and mm-hmm. I'm not a big lip syncer, but I love a commercial jingle. I love a commercial jingle.
Same.
And
I
love putting, I always am trying to find ways to put commercial jingles into like my acts and stuff. And so like, I want to do the Folgers one. I love the Pepto-Bismol one. When you've got heartburn, nausea, indigestion, upset stomach.
I love that song.
Isolate it. The other one that I love is this new one called, the little pill with a big story to tell. some like diet pill or something. I don't know, but I'm obsessed with the commercials.
I love jingles. I think they're very special.
Yeah.
I used to go on stage and on my iPod,
Which
Nano,
you still have.
Parker, I still have my iPod Nano. I have a commercial jingle that is Ladysmith Black Mambazo, the South African a cappella band. sing. It's a Lifesavers commercial, but you don't hear that it's Lifesavers until the end. So it actually sounds like a really pretty song until they say Lifesavers at the end. And it, anyway, I did it on stage a couple times. Wow. It's a very like Brooklyn avant-garde.
It's yours.
There you go, Parker. Use that.
Right. You can use that. No, that's not
Wait,
how
Parker,
I meant that.
What is the scene like in Chicago? I mean, cause I went to school in Chicago and uh-huh. I started some, I like yourself too. I also did improv in Chicago and hated it. And then I moved to New York and figured I could make an actual living and realized I couldn't do that until I moved to Los Angeles. But I like, what is the scene like in Chicago right now, particularly the comedy scene?
You know, it's really interesting. God, I keep talking about the pandemic. We need to stop. I need to stop.
No,
but
no,
it's
stop.
It's relevant.
It's your truth.
It is. It kind of like did a little like weeding out of like people who had been like staple people in Chicago, the like old guard improvisers, stand-up folk. People went to New York, people went to LA. And so now it's just kind of like new seedlings coming up. And so there's like a lot of people just doing the thing that they wanted to do. You're seeing a lot of people taking big risks and chances and putting up unusual shows. And I would say kind of the old format that was in Chicago is not really relevant anymore.
You guys have turned.
We turned our backs on our old ways, and so it's exciting.
You know, that's an exciting thing. It's sometimes like you know, cities will you know, a scene will kind of create a new type of performance or something, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what it was like writing for Cards Against. What was that?
That was a crazy thing. I do believe, and I can't confirm this because I'm not willing to buy a new card deck. But there is a card, I believe, that is Uncut Daddy Dick that I wrote.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I hope you gave that to your parents framed. Yes. Yes.
my first writing gig, Uncut Daddy Dick.
Uncut Daddy Dick. That was such a wild thing to write for because it was like...
How long did that last for? Like... I just assume like they bring you in for a month and that's it.
Well,
right?
They did that for some people. I came in like the last year that the writer's room existed. It went through like a very bizarre disbanding and the company like sold off. And now it's written by AI and like user submission. It's like a very strange thing that happened.
Wow.
But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you would go in and you would brainstorm ideas, or would you just like play the game and like what was
the crazy
life?
Thing? I was all remote, so I would just submit like 30 of my examples of being like, okay, and it, but you would it. Get like, okay, we're doing a pack about horror movies, and so I would just be a monster for like a week, being like, what are the most disturbing things I can think of, and just like writing down a list of words and then mashing them together. Yeah.
Wait, remind me what is the premise of Cards Against Humanity?
Okay, so everything I just said sounded insane.
No, I mean, I know what it means. I know how it works, but I've never actually played the game.
Oh, well, you don't really have to. It's like an apples to apples situation. There's like a suggestion card that has a prompt, and then everybody will give a card that has a phrase to complete that prompt with.
Is that sort of like Balderdash?
No,
I think it's sort of like it's like a Mad Libs, right?
It's closer to that.
I think everyone has a bunch of cards, and you know you're trying to choose what like the funniest one that people will vote is the funniest to kind of fit into the sentence that is like the sentence. And now that I know definitively that Uncut Daddy Dick is in that deck of cards, I will literally never play with my family.
I don't think you should play that game with your family ever. I did just hear from a friend of mine about this one game that literally I had never heard of, and I was at first appalled and then very intrigued. It's called Secret Hitler. Have you heard of this game?
I think I've played this. Oh, I have played this game.
It's a game where like someone is appointed like the communists and one person's a Hitler and the other people are faithfuls or whatever it is. I don't know what they're called. And like, or something, I don't know what that is. Nazis. I don't know. And you have to like figure out who the Hitler is. Am I right, Parker? Am I ruining this?
Yeah. No, it's a game of deception and you play with your friends and you're like, oh, I didn't know you could be this evil. And so
I think, I mean, I don't, I hate saying this on the record, but I feel like I would make a great Hitler.
And
well, you are German.
I will be going to meet you guys.
So it's sort of like...
Wait, Parker, are you from Chicago originally?
No, you're from Massachusetts.
Well, yeah, I'm from Massachusetts. Oh, right. Yeah. I'm a proud little New England boy. Do you know, like, center of the state, right outside Worcester? Beautiful city,
cute.
Worcester. Yeah.
Nice.
It's pronounced Worcester.
Worcester, yes, it's Worcester. Mm-hmm.
I actually I applied to Clark University and got in, not trying to brag.
Where rockets were invented.
And I think was the only university Sigmund Freud would lecture
right.
at. Just so
yeah,
you know.
He chose to move to Worcester.
The only one he would lecture at?
Yeah, I guess like whenever Freud came to the States, he would only speak at Clark, which had this like phenomenal psychology program that was like claim to fame.
So you went from Chicago, from Massachusetts. What brought you to Chicago? Just knowing you wanted to do the comedy thing and start there, or was there something else?
No, that was pretty much. I followed a friend who was in a improv troupe in college. I did do 2 years in a service corps, living in a commune to get here. That was my choice. I was like, let's make this as difficult as possible to move to a new city.
What was that?
Wait, explain that.
That's all you get. That's, no, I'm kidding. Yes, I was in the Episcopal Service Corps. It is no longer really
very Massachusetts.
Yeah, that you know, we had communists and atheists and Buddhists in our little cohort, and so it's like the least Christian thing imaginable. But we all lived in a house together. We had to live by community created rules. We ate all of our meals together.
And gave massages?
And we gave massages to homeless people. So,
what did you do? Like, what was your job?
We were all interns at different nonprofits. So,
God.
That was it.
Wow. I hated community service when I was a kid. I hated it. I really did. I always was just like, I volunteered to like be the leader of things because that way I could boss people around because I knew I'd hate helping people.
That was a smart choice. Yeah.
Thank you.
How did you find and how do you find how much are you invested in the quote unquote gay scene? I know there's like Boys Town in Chicago.
It's called that anymore,
obviously you
Elliot.
Have a,
yeah, what's it called now? Like
it's North Halsted now.
Folksville.
It's Halsted.
You know, this is my favorite name. On the other side of the literal railroad tracks from Boys Town in the 80s was the neighborhood officially was known as the Lesbian Ghetto. And that was the real name.
Wow.
And then that became now the neighborhood I live in, which it moved up north. Yeah. So I love it. I'm not quite, I would say in the more alternative gay scene in Chicago, which is
get
strong. Can you believe it? My little mullet you have right here.
Your mullet, yeah.
Episcopalian mullet.
That's me. And it's good. I got to be honest. It's a good gay city.
Chicago is a really fun gay city. It's a great gay. Wait, have you ever been to Steamworks?
Oh, you better believe it. I directed a musical based on that.
Oh, I did not know that.
Wait, hold
please
on.
Tell us more.
Does this also involve your direction of the music? You did an interpretation of Stepmom as well?
Oh, yes. These are separate.
Okay,
things.
Please explain both.
Well, Severson the Musical.
I would hope so.
You know, no, kind of Julia Roberts goes down the rabbit hole and she's
literally
kind of amazing. they're pretty much what they said. The Steamworks was Alice in Wonderland, but a twink who goes into Steamworks for the first time.
Oh, that's so funny.
It was a lot of fun. It was a good show.
That's really smart.
It's very fun.
And now Stepmom, you directed and performed Stepmom, which is a recreation of the movie, but blended with a lesbian fever dream at Steppenwolf.
At Steppenwolf, the most prestigious theater in Chicago.
And some would argue in the United States, too.
And they had us back. They were like, actually, we really loved that, and will you come back and do it again?
Wait, what was the story? What was the story? How did it work?
So Stepmom... I can reveal it now because the show is done. If you're familiar with The French Lieutenant's Wife, is a Meryl Streep film. This is the creation of my brilliant friend Alex Grelli at Beer Battered Cod. Truly the most a genius comedian performer in Chicago. I love him. And he wrote this script that started as if it was a full recreation of the film, the 1988 film, Stepmom. But it quickly, we went backstage, we called cut. You were on the set of Stepmom, and it was about the evolving love affair between Julie Roberts and Susan Sarandon. That was then interspersed between scenes from the film and them going down on each other and having sushi and breaking up.
Oh my God.
You know, it was.
Did you do the dance with the children? You know, to Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
You know, we referenced it, but we kind of stayed away from some of the more important scenes for whatever reason.
the touchdowns.
Yeah, we really went for like the stuff nobody cares about.
The stepmom.
I would have loved every second of that. I want to see that someday. Bring it to Los Angeles.
I think it has legs for traveling. So. Maybe we will.
Yeah, it pretty much describes the Venn diagram of what me and Alan are into.
Yes,
basically,
I think.
Except I do love the French Lieutenant's Woman too. I love an early Meryl Streep moment. Next do a spinoff of like Kramer versus Kramer or something.
I mean.
Yeah, if we could somehow incorporate. Oh my God, what's that fucking morning show you guys love? What is my problem?
The View.
The View. If we could get The View and maybe start.
Oh my God, The View with Sophie's Choice.
Oh my God, that's good.
That's good.
That is really. I watch The View every day too. By the way,
me too. Oh my God,
I knew it.
I knew about that.
Unreal.
Oh my God, every single morning. Mm-hmm. Do you? I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of Sunny right now. We won't get into this. People hate this. But
Sunny has been going off the rails for a while. I got to be
really
honest.
Has.
Some of
she
her,
really
she
has.
Comes in hot, and you're like, what? You're contradicting yourself from weeks ago, right now, Sunny.
Yes.
I don't know what you're doing.
Yes. She makes Whoopi make sense, which is insane sometimes.
Now that's
absolutely impossible.
Yeah. It really is.
I don't understand that.
I hope Joy's play goes on tour. That Burroughs play that shit. Oh, more than anything.
Oh, I know.
I need to see
Joy
that.
Joy is actually a very good writer, like wildly good. It's kind of insane.
I need to see it.
Mm-hmm. She was a comedian. She was a teacher. I mean, she's done it all.
Mm-hmm. You know, she wrote some novels. I think she wrote the Great Gatsby.
Joy Behar.
Yeah.
As I recall. Well, Parker, this has been an absolute delight. Where can people find you on the internet? Where can they find your shows and follow you on social media?
You're going
to
find everything across the board at Park the Lark on all social media. Something I chose when I was 18. It stuck with me for life. At Park the Lark, unfortunately. That's
you know,
me forever.
It's so funny you say that because I was just thinking that the other day. Like, not to age us, but our generation, like, we chose email addresses and AIM names that were so embarrassing. Thank God we don't have to live by them. But y'all, you're a little bit younger than us, you chose like Instagram names that now you fucking have to live with because Instagram's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's there forever.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Alan loves it for sure. Parker, thank you so much. This
thank
was
you.
Amazing.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
And another thing.
So I was at a dear beloved gay bar recently in downtown Los Angeles. And there's a little counter where they sell cookies at this gay bar. And I was hanging out there drinking alone by myself. And I noticed
by choice.
And I noticed on this counter that they had fentanyl test strips now available for free. And it just really kind of, I just wanted to chat about it with you guys because it kind of encapsulated how quickly things have shifted and how dangerous. I've always been, you know, as I always say, I'm the only one who the war on drugs actually worked. And I've never been super into drugs by any means. But I'm like cartoonishly afraid of any kind of white powder or pill at this point, because you hear so many anecdotal stories of people doing a line of coke and dying.
Yeah.
And because it had fentanyl in it, and doing a pill at school because their friend thought they bought some Xanax from some, you know, dude on the street or something, and it had fentanyl in it, and they died.
Yeah. It happened at the school right over here, right by where Michael and I live, at that school, those kids. Yeah.
Yep. Horrifying. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to like, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir because you guys also don't do drugs. I mean, Alan, did you ever do coke?
Yes.
In New York?
A lot of it.
Yeah,
yes.
You did. Yeah. You did a lot of it. Elliot, you didn't, did you?
No, I'm afraid of, I don't like to think about membranes.
well, I love the granularity of Elliot's explanation. I mean, it really is scary to think that people are still tempted, you know, to do a line of coke, given that there is a not statistically insignificant chance that there could be fentanyl
in it. So I have a question. Fentanyl is, when something is laced with fentanyl, is the idea, if it's, excuse me, if it's so, it's so deadly, right? Yeah. Why would somebody, like, what is the point of fentanyl? Do you get high from it and then sometimes a dose can be lethal? Or is it?
I think I've watched a number of YouTube documentaries about fentanyl addiction. And I also watched the YouTube channel Soft White Underbelly, which actually is based in downtown Los Angeles. And it's an artist who interviews folks of all walks of life, generally sort of under the umbrella of quote unquote, the underbelly of America, whatever that might mean. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, well, that said,
I just want to add, it's like, I mean, the appeal, the large appeal of it is that it's like 50 to 100 times like stronger than like morphine, the hit of fentanyl. So the high is immediate, and it's like, I mean, it hits you, and I think it maybe even lasts a little bit longer. So like the appeal of it is that, but it also makes it incredibly more dangerous.
The appeal is that, but I think more relevantly to Elliot's question, my understanding is that it hooks people harder.
Yes. Yeah.
So you put a small amount, obviously not an amount that you think will kill anyone, because then you won't have anyone to buy your drugs again. But it hooks them harder. And I mean, I don't know if this is verified or true, but I had a friend who was saying he heard a story or heard rumor that like even if you buy weed illegally in California now, it might have traces of fentanyl in it.
Thank God.
Because obviously,
weed. Talk about full circle. Yeah. The point of a testing strip then is to do at a bar is to what? Check that your drink isn't laced with fentanyl?
I don't know how the test strips work because I didn't need them, but I think the idea is if you have coke, why not test your coke to see if it has fentanyl in it? And if it doesn't, then enjoy your line.
I mean,
and I think coke is presumably popular enough still in the gay community that they're putting out free test strips of fentanyl.
Yeah.
I think I saw at my doctor's office fentanyl lollipops. Did I make that up?
I mean, you wouldn't be
fentanyl lollipops. No,
you wouldn't get fentanyl lollipops.
Well, maybe at Elliot's doctor would. Elliot literally gets Elliot gets opioids every time he has a cough. He goes in and he gets an opioid cough syrup. I don't know how you found this guy, but he is such a quack.
Oh my God.
That doctor that you go to is just literally like the doctor from 30
Rock. He's not.
He is.
Dr. Spichemin.
No, I was going to say, don't see say the one his that... real name on the podcast, Elliot.
No, yeah. But I don't see the doctor who misdiagnosed Alan. I see a partner.
Practice is full of degenerates, but
I think I'm confusing a few things, but maybe they have fentanyl testing strips there as well.
Probably.
I guess my question is, do people seek out fentanyl as they would another drug because the high is so much higher?
I'm not an expert. I don't do cocaine or anything, but the fentanyl is well anymore. It's not like I did it regularly either. I did it as a party thing, guys. Okay, let's calm down, Brent. Let's not give Brent another joke for 30 years.
You just said you did it a lot.
Well, I did it a lot when I partied, but let's not give Brent a joke where he can talk about me reading a book in a bar once and he lasts that for years. That said, I think it's more the drug provider is lacing it, knowing that, and then of course.
It'll hook you.
Of course, then they go back to that person because they're providing them with a high that is really good. So there's sort of a twofold thing. Sure, the high is stronger. And if they do it, and I'm sure many users do it in a way that, in a low dose way to sort of get that high that is so addictive, knowing that there might be a little bit in it. I don't really know, but I'm sure, I don't think it's a matter of them being like, I need fentanyl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, obviously we've all seen the billboards of how little it takes for someone to die from it. Right. But on Soft White Underbelly, which is the expert I consult when it comes to all things drugs, there are people who identify as crack addicts, fentanyl addicts, meth addicts, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know exactly how that manifests, whether that a fentanyl addict is actually doing fentanyl cut with other things, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know exactly how it works, but it's just, it's also so interesting that to this day, I mean, I am, I'm in my late 30s, and to this day, I still don't meet people that do like a lot of coke. I've never been at a bar and had someone be like, I need to go do coke, or do you want to do coke with me? I've never gone on a date with someone who like was like, oh yeah, that's like my scene or anything like that. And I don't know. It just, I know it exists and I have nothing against it, but I'm just so surprised.
Coke was never, I mean, at least in my experience, coke was never recreational in the sense that I was like, oh, I got to get home and do it. You know what I mean? Like, it was never like that. It was, it was like a means to an end for a night out once in a while. And it was never, but then again, this was years ago. So it's not like I even did it.
Isn't it expensive?
I never really paid because I was always just with other people. Yeah. So it was the casual use. And that's often how it goes. And then of course there are addicts who are doing it all the time and it's ruining their lives. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't do it enough to know if there was if it is easy to do it that casually, but I did it enough to know that it made a crazy night in New York crazier.
Totally.
Yeah.
And maybe these testing strips kind of give people the freedom to say, hey, all right, there's no fentanyl, so why not kind of let loose?
Yeah. I mean, there is a conversation around, changing our drug laws in this country, because we know that people are going to experiment and use drugs in lots of different ways. And maybe not, giving them access to do it in the safest way possible is maybe not a bad thing. You know what I mean? That way there's less deaths and there's more awareness over how things can be used properly if you're going to do it, you know?
Yeah, I see that. I still don't even understand. I mean, the gay party drugs is like meth.
Yeah.
I guess coke. And then G, somebody explained it to me recently, like dosing on G or whatever that is.
We sound so square. We sound so fucking square.
I
know.
I forget what G is. GHB.
GHB. Yeah.
Oh, right.
But somebody was explaining to me how, doing it. It's like a science experiment.
Yeah.
Where you have to drop a drop in, and you have to set an alarm so that you do it every hour on the hour. Yeah. And I'm like, what is the point? This is fun. Yeah. It sounds awful.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
also you can lose control of your body. Yeah. I don't get it at all.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I have been praying for Elliot to give me one of his Percocets for years, and I still haven't received one. Yeah.
It's coming. It's coming. It's on its way.
I'm dropping by this week.
A drop by.
The person without a car is gonna drop by.
Yeah, I love when you said the other day, I might swing by. I'm like, swing by.
Hey, swing by. Hey, buses swing. It's just a slow burn.
Keeping this in, keeping this in.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Introducing Batiste Sweat-Activated and Touch-Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste Dry Shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
What would your aunt say?
Brent, what would your Aunt Ramona say about something she heard on today's show?
I love that your podcast quotes Stepmom like anyone in the world has ever seen that movie.
That's funny because my Aunt Joanne would say, oh, I saw Stepmom, but I will never see another Susan Sarandon vehicle again, Antisemite.
I'm with her.
How about Aunt Anne?
I would say, I have something to confess. I am a drug addict to chocolate.
Very good.
Can't.
Very
I'm
good.
I'm a chocoholic.
Very good. Very good.
My name is Annie.
The Onion did that actually years ago. It was an op-ed that I still remember. That was, I'm an alcoholic, but for chocolate. Yeah. And I still remember that.
So funny.
Oh, The Onion.
Oh, fun. Well, bye.
Well, great job, guys. Great job.
Bye. See you next time.
So what is that? An old school phone cord?
It's my headphones.
Oh, sure. All right. Okay. Bye.
Yeah.